just look around you today. Tell a few people just near you, maybe in front of you or behind you. Tell them, here comes the rain. Here comes the rain. I'm not predicting another storm. I'm talking about that gentle rain that causes flowers to grow. The kind of rain that lifts crops out of the dirt. I believe this is how God wants to pour his Spirit out on us today. I believe he wants to flood our souls with his Spirit. And I believe when we get into the Word and when we breathe life, when we inhale and exhale in the presence of God, in this atmosphere, in moments like these, then we experience fullness and we experience his love and we experience one another's love. I'm praying today. I've been praying all week that the Lord would just fill us up and that he would rain down on us. Zechariah 10 and verse 1 said, ask the Lord for rain in the time of the latter rain. The Lord will make flashing clouds. He will give them showers of rain, grass in the fields for everyone. He said, ask the Lord for rain. Later in the Bible, we would find out that we have not because we ask not. So if I can ask for rain, if I can ask for God's blessing, if I can ask for a flood of God's Spirit that I'm putting my request in today, I'm putting a request in for my life. I'm putting a request in for your life. I want the Lord to rain down on us. And then it was a matter of when will he do this? It's in the latter season. It's in the springtime. That's what that latter means. It's right now. We are in springtime. It's today. Now is the time to ask God for his strength and for his help and for his blessing. You want to just do an exercise together right where you are. If you're comfortable, just lift your hands and say, Lord, I'm asking for rain in my life. Tell him, say, Lord, I'm asking for your blessing in my life. I'm asking for a miracle in my life. In Jesus' name, amen. You say, Pastor Darrell, is it that easy? I believe it is that easy. I believe he's wanting to bless us. I believe he is wanting to move on our behalf. I believe he is wanting to make a way in our lives. He's wanting to work for us. He's just waiting on us to need him, waiting on us to want him, waiting on us to call after him and to reach for him. In fact, Ezekiel 34 and 26 says, I will bless my people. I will bless my people. The Lord said he would do it because he is the blesser. I will bless my people and their homes around my holy hill. And in the proper season, I will send the showers they need. There will be showers of blessing. I believe that's where we're living. I will bless my people. I'm going to bless my people. I'm going to bless their homes, which means I'm going to bless your family. You may have kids. You may have people that live in your home that are not in service with you today. You've got an extension of your house. They carry your name. They carry your DNA. They carry your nature and your personality. The Lord said, not only am I going to bless you, but I am going to bless them. you say, hey, they're not even serving the Lord. They want nothing to do with this life that I live. You know what? Because of you, God will bless them. And he'll bless them until they change their mind about the way they're living. He'll bless you and he'll bless them until they change course and change direction. I need somebody to believe the word of the Lord today. God will bless you to bless them until he can save them the way he wants them to be saved. That's who he is. I'm going to bless them. We need this in our home. We need this around his holy hill. David asks, who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who will be rained on? Who is going to get this blessing? Who is going to have this experience in their life? Is it going to be people that are the right race, the right color? No, it doesn't have anything to do with that. Is it going to be people that are in the right political party that are voting for the right people? No, it doesn't have anything to do with that. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? It's those with clean hands, those with pure hearts, those that are living in the right season at the right time. He said, I will send rain and I will shower them with blessing. That's what I'm asking God to do. That's what I'm needing him to do. You say, Pastor Darrell, there's just one problem. I feel dry. I don't know. Something is just not clicking for me spiritually. Something is just, I'm not firing on all cylinders. I'm in the room, but it just doesn't feel like I'm feeling like I felt. It's a dry season. Hear me today. A dry season is no time to relax your prayers. You need to pray without ceasing, whether it's a good time or a bad time, whether it's a day season or a night season. I'm going to keep praying. I'm going to keep worshiping. Why? Because he's God in our gladness and he's God in our sadness. I agree, it's a lot easier to worship when I'm living in gladness. But listen, there's something so healing about worshiping in my season of sadness when things are breaking and things are happening and there's trouble on every side. When I can keep reaching for him. Because we've all been there. We've all been there. We've neglected prayer until trouble comes. We've neglected worship until we get in a desperate situation. And oftentimes we have no direction because we are dry spiritually. But when we are full of prayer, when we are full of his word, when the church is full of worship, when the church is engaged in the word of the Lord, then God pours out his full blessing, spiritual blessings, showers of rain, showers of blessing come to those who call on the name of the Lord. I want to help somebody today, because if your field is dry, if your field is barren, and you ask for rain, when it rains, it's not going to soak in. It's only going to be temporary, because you need a soaking rain. You need a rain that gets beyond the top layer of your hard heart. You need a rain that soaks down beneath the dryness and the barrenness and the place that has become so hardened because of a lack of rain and a lack of water and a lack of spirit in your life. Paul said we are washed by the word of the Lord. That the reason we're dry is because our hearts are empty of God's word. Listen, you can plant expecting growth, but if the ground is lacking moisture, if the ground is lacking fertilizer, if the ground is lacking proper care, then the crop will not grow. I've had at least two conversations with people this morning that were telling me they spent the day yesterday turning dirt over in their gardens. turning dirt over in their flower beds. Why? Because there's something about the winter season that just packs it down and hardens it over, and you gotta get in there and you gotta do the work. You gotta plow it up. You gotta dig it up. They've got all kinds of fancy machinery for that now. You got electrical things and gas-powered things. It's easier now. It's easier now to turn dirt over than it's ever been. But regardless of how you do it, it's gotta be done. Whether you're reading the Bible on an iPhone or whether you've got an old-fashioned book that you're opening and laying across your lap, however you're getting the word, you've got to get the word, because it's turning over the dirt in your life. It's turning over the soil in your life so that the water of his word can soak down into the dry places of your life. Because if we're lacking God's word, if we're lacking the fertilizer, the moisture of the Spirit, then we will not grow. Because our spirits are the same as the soil. If our spirits are dry and lacking in the word of God, when the rain comes, it's only going to touch the present need. It's only going to touch the surface circumstances of our lives. It's why we need to get down deep. We need to get down deep, because if we're just living from present to present, from just little situation and just small touch to small touch, we're just going to learn to survive just on small incremental showers and things that just bless us and help us, but it doesn't really change our lives. We need breakthrough. We need a turning over of the soil. We need a turning under of the dirt in our lives. We need the deep, penetrating rain that flows to the dry places of our lives. Maybe I'm preaching to somebody today that feels dry, that feels barren. How do I get out of this? How do I fix this? I love Isaiah 43, 19 and 20. For I am about to do something new. I'm about to do something new. That's a word for someone today, someone who feels like you've been stuck in the old, stuck in a former mindset, stuck in an old way of thinking. I am about to do something new. See, I've already begun. He said, do you not see it? No, if I'm stuck in old thinking, then I'm going to miss it. I've got to peel these scales back from my eyes. I've got to start looking at this in a fresh way. I've got to start seeing this in a new light and from a new perspective. He said, I will make a pathway through the wilderness, because no matter what you've got yourself into, I can get you out of it. No matter what you feel stuck in, there is a trail, there is a path, there is a sidewalk. I'm preaching to people in this room today that feel stuck, but God said, I have made a pathway in the wilderness. There is a way out. If there was a way for you to get into this mess, then there is a way out of the mess that you find yourself in. I've made a pathway. I will create rivers in the dry wasteland. I will create rivers in the dry wasteland. The wild animals in the fields will thank me. The jackals and the owls too, for giving them water in the desert. Yes, I will make rivers in the dry wasteland so my chosen people can be refreshed. He's saying you won't die of thirst as long as you have me in your life. You won't die dry and barren as long as you have me in your life, because I can get water to you. I can get a stream to you. I can open up a channel to flow to where you are. I feel somebody pulling on my spirit today saying, Pastor Darrell, I've been dry too long. I've been stuck too long. I've been lost too long. I've been struggling too long. I've been in this old way of thinking too long. And what I need is a river. I need a river in my dry waste land. I don't know about you, but that sounds good to me. Dry lips, parched throat. It's a miserable way to live. There is a way out of this. Tell somebody around you. Tell them, I'm coming out of this. I've been stuck too long, but today is my day. Today is my day to get out of this that I am in. How do we break forth with this water and this refreshing? The Native Americans, they used to do rain dances. They believed that when they would dance, that the rain would come. Probably a form of worship to them, to which gods, we may not be sure. I don't know, but I believe the principle is the same. When I begin to praise the Lord, showers of blessing begin to fall in my life. It's a great conundrum, because usually when you need it the most is when you feel like doing it the least. It's just a law of life. When you need him the most, when you need breakthrough the most, when you need a miracle so desperately, that's when you feel least like giving God what he deserves, or doing what you know it requires, or what it takes. That's why I tell you, it's so much more valuable when you're down to worship. It's so much more powerful when you're struggling to praise. It's so much more beneficial, because anybody can praise when there's enough money in the checking account. Anybody can worship when they've got a clean bill of health, but it's when I'm broke, busted, and disgusted. It's when everything is falling apart in my life and I lift up my hands anyway. It's when things are crashing at my feet and I open up my mouth and say, God, I'm going to worship you. Why? Because I need a river. I need a river in my life. So I'm going to talk to you for a few moments about praise today. We'll talk to you for a few moments about releasing the water in your life, releasing the shower and the blessing in your life. Here's the first question. When should I praise? When should I pray? When is it appropriate for me to worship? Here's what David said in Psalm 34 and 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. You say, no, that I reserve that for the hours of 10 to 12 on Sundays, just when I'm in this building. That's the only time I can worship. Well, listen, you're missing something. You got to praise him at work. You got to praise him at school. You got to bless him when you're in the grocery store. You got to magnify him when you're in the doctor's office. You got to praise him at all times. His praise is going to continually be... They're going to think I'm crazy. Let them think whatever they think, because me and God have something going, and I'm going to bless his name. I'm going to worship him. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. When should I praise? If you see me praising, then you ought to praise. If I see you praising, then I ought to join your praise. That's when it's appropriate to praise. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I've had some awesome times of just me and Jesus worshiping, but it's so much better when two or three agree as touching any one thing. He said, there I am in the midst. There I am in the middle of that circumstance. There I am in the middle of that situation. What about Psalm 35 and 28? And my tongue shall speak of your righteousness and of your praise all the day long. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Here's the thing. You can have a great Sunday. You can feel the presence of God. But if you get to about Wednesday or Thursday and you're like, you know what, Sunday was so good and I really got my praise on back on Sunday, but I haven't worshiped him since then. Listen, something is missing in your life. Wake up worshiping. Wake up praising him. I was fighting this jet lag thing coming home from the Philippines, and my nights and days were a little mixed up, and 9 o'clock at night, it was like I'd hit a wall. It wasn't just, hey, I think I'm tired. I mean, it was, you have to close your eyes right this second. But I would wake up at 4 a.m. just like it was 2 o'clock in the afternoon. The first morning or two, I tried to just lay there. Maybe I'll fall back. No, there was no falling back to sleep. So I was in the office before 5 a.m. I'm just here. I tried to go to Walmart. Walmart was still closed. Like, what are you people doing? Tried to go to Publix. They don't open till 7. I'm like, I'm out here trying to work for God and do something in this city, and everybody's sleeping. I'm just wide awake. But there was something awesome. Nobody was here, no day schools, no hands of hope, nobody cleaning, nobody working, just me walking the lobby and the hallways and the same, just walking about this building, just thanking God for revival, thanking God for a river, thanking God for a breakthrough, seeing your faces, seeing your family, and saying, Lord, I want you to reign in their life. I want you to bless them all day long. I'm going to praise you all day long. I'm going to worship you. This is not just a Sunday morning thing. This is not just a small group thing. This is all day long. Every day, I am going to praise him. I'm going to make your name to be remembered. Psalm 45 and 17 said, in all generations. It's not just an old people thing. It's not just a middle-aged thing. It's from top to bottom. It's from young to old, everybody in all generations. Therefore, the people shall praise you forever and ever. Now, any time is the right time to praise the Lord. Whether you're at work, whether you're at school, doesn't matter. While you're on a walk, while you're in the park, and sure enough, while you're at church. In fact, you can take a praise break right now if you want to. Pastor Darrell, you just trying to hype us up? Caught me. You just trying to stir us up? Guilty. Because I know how heavy life gets. I know how hard life gets, and we need some fresh rain in our lives. Here's the next question. What should I praise of the Lord? I understand when, but what should I praise of the Lord? Psalm 7 and 17, I will praise the Lord according to his righteousness and will sing praise to the name of the Lord most high. I know we like to place conditions on our praise, but here's the one condition that David made. He said, if he's righteous, then you ought to praise him. Guess what? The Lord is righteous. He's the only one who is righteous. And because he is righteous, then I'm going to sing my praise, because there is never a time, no matter how dark, no matter how difficult, there is never a time that God is not righteous and that God is not great in my life. That means if I'm hearing the bad news, God is still great. So I need to praise my way through the bad news. I need to just keep worshiping him because he is always good. Psalm 9 and 2, I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. What am I going to praise about him? I'm going to praise his name. I love Acts 4 and 12, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. There is salvation in the name of the Lord. He is all powerful, and we praise his power. Not convinced, Psalm 28 and 7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him. I am helped, therefore my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song I will praise him. I'm going to praise him because he's good. I'm going to praise his name. I'm going to magnify and exalt him for who he is. How will I praise the Lord? You got the when, you got the what. How will I praise the Lord? Again, Psalm 9:1, I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will tell of all your marvelous works. Deuteronomy 6:5, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Here's how I define that. I'm going to praise him with my heart. I'm going to praise him with my soul. I'm going to praise him with my might. I'm going to praise him with my lips. Everything I own has to praise him. Everything I possess has to worship him. My hands, my feet, my ears, my eyes, my mouth, everything has to worship him. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. Psalm 63:3. That leads us to where? Where do we praise the Lord? Psalm 22:22 said, I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will praise you. That means you ought to be right at home in his presence. You ought to be right at home in this house. I love and appreciate so much how comfortable we're getting in our worship. I know we always have people on every level. You got people in this room that have never seen or felt. In fact, they've never heard a preacher preach quite as loud as I'm preaching right now. And I understand that. Come back next Sunday. I'll bring First Baptist Daryl, maybe. I don't know. But just come and see who I am next Sunday. But sometimes it's loud and sometimes it's quiet, and maybe you've never been in an atmosphere where people are just comfortable, or maybe they fall down to their knees, or they come and lay across an altar or lift up their hands high, because you don't know what they're going through. You don't know what they may be facing. You don't know what may be happening in their life. Even Cece have a funeral here this coming Saturday at 11 a.m. and we're going to gather around them and love them. And we're going to worship with them because we know the strength that they need these next few days and these next few weeks. And as a church family, we're going to love them. That's where I praise the Lord. I'm going to give you thanks, Psalm 35:18, in the great assembly. I will praise you among my people. I'm going to praise you among many people. Say, I don't know, Pastor Darrell, I get kind of shy, I get kind of nervous, I don't want anybody watching me. Guess what? No one is watching you. They're not. You know why? Because it's not all about you. You're so overwhelmed. Devil's got you so tricked, thinking that everybody's eyes are on you, and it's got you so shy and so timid. Listen, they got their own hell they're trying to deal with. They got their own crisis they're trying to navigate. They've got their own issues they're trying to swim their way through. So maybe, just maybe, when they see you worshiping, they're going to say, you know what? If they're comfortable, then I'm comfortable. And if two of us are comfortable, then maybe that becomes five of us. And maybe that becomes 20 of us. And maybe that becomes the entire room, from stage to sound booth, saying, you know, I'm going to bless the Lord and I'm going to magnify him because he is worthy. We are creating a place of praise. We are creating a place of praise. Here's what I've always imagined in my mind. The Bible says that God inhabits the praise of his people. That means he dwells in, he lives in, he is at home where people worship. Here's what I want the Lord to think about the Church Covington and you and I. I want him every week to just go ahead and put our Sunday service on his calendar. To say, you know what? I know those people will worship me. I know that no matter what they face, I know that no matter what they go through, I know that no matter what life throws at them, I know that no matter what that dumb devil tries to create in their life, they are going to show up and they are going to show out. They are going to come in to my gates with thanksgiving and come into my courts with praise. Maybe I can't depend on some other churches that just kind of ride the wave of circumstance, but I can depend on the Church Covington, because Sundays, they're about to give it all they have. They're going to bless him and praise him and magnify. I just want him to know that every single Sunday, we're going to be ready to worship him. Because we're creating a place of praise. Lord, come get your praise. Come receive what belongs to you. This is not about us. This is about you. We're not doing this in applause of any beat or any band. We're doing this to the glory of God. Doing this because it makes a difference in our lives and other people's lives. So who should praise the Lord? We got the where, we got the reason, we got the how, but who should praise the Lord? Psalm 22 and 26, the poor shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him will praise the Lord. Let your heart live forever. Psalm 67 and 5, let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. So it's not relegated to just a few. It's not just a few that are set apart that have the energy or have the personality or are just rambunctious in their emotional makeup. No, let all the peoples praise you, O God. I love Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise. Make a joyful shout to the Lord. All you lands, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. In case you didn't hear that, for the Lord, he is good. In case you need one more reminder, for the Lord, he is good. For whoever's going through it, for whoever's under it, for whoever is struggling, the Lord is good. Somebody praise him because he's good. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. That's who he is. That's what he does. We've got to worship him. I dare you to look at those same people in your zip code, those same people in front and behind, and tell them, here comes the rain. Here comes the rain. God is doing something. God is moving. God is helping us. God is working for us. Before I leave today, I need to find other people. I need to cross an aisle. I need to go from front to back to just say, hey, I need to testify God is good. What if you testified to 10 people before you leave this service today? In the sanctuary, in the lobby, in the park. God is good to me. God is good. God is good. God is good. God is good. I can't. Preach a message about praise and not take you to Psalm 150. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. praise him in his mighty firmament. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the lute and the harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and flutes. Praise him with loud cymbals. Praise him with clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Let everything. Ladies and gentlemen, that is you and that is me. We are the everything. We are the everyone. And we've got a responsibility to praise the Lord. Here comes the rain. Here comes the rain. Here comes the rain. I'm going to invite you to stand. I don't want you leaving the building just yet. Just hold on a minute. Allow this atmosphere to do what it needs to do in someone's life. I know there are people preparing for baptism. If you're ready to be baptized, you can meet our team, Rebecca, right over in this lobby to my right. If you want to be baptized today, join them right here in this lobby. They'll get you all set up if today is your day. I know that God is good. I know. And he deserves the glory. So, Father, I pray for the rain of restoration, the rain of strength, the rain of blessing, the rain of healing, the rain of deliverance, the rain of peace. We need the rain to fall. We need the rain to fall in our lives. If you're in this room today and you need rain in your life, maybe it's peace, maybe it's healing, maybe it's his grace. Just lift your hands right where you are. I'm just putting myself in position to receive, putting myself in a posture to accept what God wants to do in my life, to receive what he has for me, so that everything in my life can be better, so that my mind can be at rest, so that my heart can be whole again. Here comes rain. I speak life over every lifted hand. I speak grace over every lifted hand. I speak peace over every lifted hand in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.